Hi, welcome in the new Spontaneous Conversations, episode 18. And today, right at the end of 2022, we have a wonderful guest, one of my best friends, and her name is Pauline van Rijkenvorsel. Try pronouncing that if you're not Dutch. Pauline, welcome.
Thank you, Lotfi. Wonderful to be here as your guest. After all these times talking about this spontaneous conversation, today is today.
Finally! No, today is the right day. I don't know why yet, but we'll discover on the go. Could you tell us something about yourself?
Well, I'm Pauline, and I live in the Netherlands, together with Rocco, my boyfriend, already for 20 years. And that's basically it right now. It's always a funny question when people ask me what I do. I never really know how to answer that question. I do a lot of things in my life, of course, but it's in every moment it's a different thing. And now I'm talking with you, so that's what I'm doing now.
I just remember now what, and that was also how we came to organize this call. One of the conclusions we had, because it's changed over time, of course, was that if somebody asks you what you're doing, you can say, I'm living in the here and now, consciously yes. In the here and now. And that's not a job title for most people, but actually it's an achievement to be able to do that.
Yes. It took me 46 years to do so.
Okay, people think go faster now. It will not take you 46 years to get there. Because some listeners may be like, will I even survive that long? But yeah,
no, of course, I come from a different place too. I mean, I have had regular jobs in the 9-to-5 schedule. And most of the people I talk to, if they ask me this question, what do you do? They talk about their jobs or their families. I have consciously not chosen for kids, for example, not to have a family of my own. And this is what I realized since 2017. I've been working actively on creating as much time as possible for myself to really be able to live in the moment, to see what life gives me and to decide, say a yes or say a no to certain things, and to listen deeply in the moment and to act in the moment, to respond in the moment. And then you see that there are a lot of things happen in a day. So we all do a lot of things in a day. The question is, do we do them consciously?
That's a good point. The conscious part. I feel that is where most people still have the possibility to take a big step. Being conscious of what you're doing throughout the day. I'm working part-time, for example, in a regular job from home. So it's already not that regular. I can basically sit in my pajamas and call the companies. But I do a lot of other things as well. I have my activities for two NGOs. And what I've noticed more and more that I'm more in the here and now when I do those things. And when I'm really there where I am with my consciousness, then there is flow. So when I picked up this corporate job at first, I didn't like it, but there was also no flow because I was not really in it. I was still still trying to get used to it, to do it the right way, things like that. And so things didn't flow. And so the results were also not great. I had a few lucky shots, but in the last few weeks, I managed to really be in the flow, and suddenly there were completely different kind of results. And the conversation started to improve also, and they were much, much more fun. And the same when I'm working with volunteers to distribute food. When I'm with my attention there, there is flow. And then there are no miscommunications, things are going well. Or when I'm organizing workshops, when I'm really there, the rest of the world, I don't care.
Things go easier and more effortless. I notice when I'm making coffee for myself, for example, and there is a moment that I'm not there, like with my thoughts, with doing the groceries, for example, then immediately something goes wrong with making the coffee. And then I know it's, oh, well, of course, I was with my mind. I was somewhere else. I was not with the coffee. So,
And I had that during the workshop yesterday evening. I was with my mind somewhere else, thinking about some other things, how to get them resolved. And at the end of the workshop, I was tired. The workshop did consume energy, where normally I come out of a workshop full of energy. And this time, not. I was really tired. I was like, oh. I also felt I had to pull some people to get involved, to speak. And I'm convinced it was because I was not fully there somehow. I had other things on my mind. So that was a good reminder, because it was the 19th workshop I was doing. So the 18th before that, I was always going home like, yeah! And I could not sleep for several hours, so I would always sleep very late after that. But yesterday I was like, oh, I want to sleep. So, and I don't see it as a failure, I see it as a reminder of the importance. Sometimes we take things for granted, and we need moments to remind us, like, hey, how do we get distracted? So that we can pay attention to it, not to get distracted.
Yeah.
Because what I've noticed is that most of society is built on distraction. You either have to work as a slave in a company, and after that, it's only distractions. And everywhere where you look, they're selling you distractions. Netflix, Amazon Prime, or whatever these things are called. On your phone is distraction after distraction, getting all the notifications, or like people say, oh, I want to grab my phone before I know 3 hours have passed. And all those times we're not in the here and now. And that's why we don't feel fulfilled when we do these things. There's no fulfillment. Maybe there's a moment of, yay, this is nice. But it doesn't last. Where, for example, when I'm with my girlfriend, we can be together for an hour, or we can be together for 6 hours. But I'm there. And so it feels good. It's not a moment of a high. It's just a constant feeling of home and warmth, fulfillment, peace, inner peace. And to feel inner peace, you need to be in the here and now.
Yeah, it sounds to me like presence.
How did you achieve this state? How do you, I mean, you said it took you 46 years, but what kind of specific things did you do? And also how, I mean, was there a moment where you took the decision that you can remember, like there was this point in your life, okay, something has to change. How did it go for you? How was that journey?
I'm afraid I cannot give the exact steps or something, but it started in 2017 with a mental crash. I had this feeling that I got struck by lightning in my head and my mind exploded. I cannot describe it in a different way. And I will skip the details here, but 5 days later, I got diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. So they gave me medicines for that. And it brought me on the couch for a year. So I laid on the couch for a year and I didn't do anything. And I faced deep darkness for a year. My deepest fears, my deepest worries came to the surface. And I just laid there, breath, and looked at an artwork on the wall. That was my rescue. And after a year, I sat up. And I started to sit up first inside the house. Next time I went outside of the house. So I went to sit outside in the warm sun. And then my attention went to the garden and the birds. And again, for a year, I didn't do almost nothing. I just sat and watched nature, basically the nature of my backyard. And then I realized also like, hey, I don't do really much here and the world is still turning. After this year, I didn't touch my computer, for example. So I was like, hey, do I really need a computer in my life? No, maybe not, because I didn't touch this thing for a year. So it took me some years, but now recently, like half a year ago, I removed the computer out of my life. I am sitting here behind the computer of Rocco. He helped me to install this whole thing. I started to live my life most of the time outside. And then from sitting a year, I started slowly walking. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, I built it up and I started to make nature walks. And I don't listen to the radio. I don't watch the television. I don't watch the news. If there's something really important, what I do need to know in my life, it comes to me in different ways. And also recently I realized I didn't watch a movie since 2 months or something. Also, I noticed with watching a movie, my attention goes into the movie. I've had that all my life. I go into the movie and then when the movie's over, I'm back in my own space. And I don't know, it just suddenly I woke up in the morning and I thought like, whoa, my mind is so peaceful. There are no thoughts. And then I started to check it in the morning, in the evening, during the day, like, how's my mind doing? And then there, I think there are no thoughts. There is just this moment. There's this moment. And the things, what I noticed, like the things I see or the things I hear or the things I sense, but there are no thoughts. My mind is completely still. And I don't know, it's now. So I think it started with just laying on the couch for a year and sitting in the sun for a year. Started to move, started to walk in nature, in living in silence. No radio, no television, no noise,
no
screaming around, no conversations around, on my own. Lots of times on my own. I think I spend 90% of the time on my own. Most of the conversations I have online or So I feel connected. But, yeah, it's more the life of a hermit.
But then still being connected.
Yes, absolutely.
Basically, throughout all the distractions.
Yes. And you said like social media has a distraction, or you mentioned a couple of things, but for me, it feels different. For me, social media can be a distraction, but it can also be a means to for really meaningful conversations. What I love with the social media is that you can really connect with the people where you feel you want to be connected with, and the rest you unfriend or don't follow, or and you can pick your areas of interest and to follow that area of interest, like what's going on or what's going on in the lives of people. So you I follow them on the sideline, let's say, and so I have this feeling that I have the people in my life that that are on the same wavelength or inspiring me, or the people I love are there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I believe it's a choice. I mean, I know certain people say, no, I don't go on Facebook because I waste my time on that. I'm like, yeah, but there is this interesting webinar which is held on Facebook. Yeah, no, I don't go on Facebook because, no, I don't want to waste my, but basically what they're saying is if I go on Facebook, I start scrolling and then I spend hours and hours. I'm like, but that's not what you need to do. So actually I have a friend who has a Facebook account. He has almost no friends on Facebook, but he uses it to follow certain pages of certain, just to know where certain classical concerts are being held and when, because that is his hobby, to attend classical concerts, preferably in person, if not online. And so he uses Facebook for that, for certain events, to know when they are and stuff. And for the rest, he's not spending any time scrolling. Yeah. And I did spend a lot of time scrolling in my life, but I even notice now that sometimes I'm scrolling, like after less than a minute, I'm like, unless I come across some really interesting things, and then I generally repost them, I share them with others. But I believe it can be a choice.
Yes, it is a choice. And actually, basically, everything is a choice. That's also a recent conclusion of mine. Everything is a choice.
Yes.
Well, my life till now is built on choices. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm alone, I can watch 5 episodes of a series in a row easily. But when I'm with my girlfriend, we watch 1 and then we go to sleep. Just 1, maybe 2, but it's a choice. I mean, I could keep watching and she would just sleep in my arms. But then somehow I consciously choose, no, going to bed. And that is already a difference that I'm experiencing compared to the previous years. And the thing is that I stop judging myself for what I'm doing, which is very important. If you want to make a change, and notice if you judge, you stay in the old habit. But if you look at it from a neutral point and then you're like, oh, wait, I had a fallback. Okay, good. How did I get there? And then you just become a little bit more alert on how do you fall back in old habits. And that's basically being more consciously in the here and now. So you notice what's happening, how you feel, and why you take a certain direction, why you choose to do something. Like I can be an emotional eater. If I don't feel good, I'm starting to look for, let's say, some sweetness in my life. It's not per se sweetness, sweet stuff that I'm eating, but, and I noticed this. So now I'm aware of it. So when this happens, like, okay, am I really hungry, or am I eating because I'm not happy at this moment? And then I can choose to still eat it or not. And so being in the here and now is more than just sitting in silence doing nothing. It's really about being aware of what you're doing and knowing what you're doing and where it can lead you or what the consequences are of your choices.
Those last two sentences, that is again the thinking. What are the consequences or something? For some reason in the action, you just do them, but I'm thinking now of an example. Very recent example. We needed a new duvet for our caravan, and yesterday we were driving somewhere and I saw this advertisement, like from the duvet company in a village next to our village, that they had an auction kind of thing, and I said, hey, we could go for a duvet there. So the opportunity is presented in my face, let's say. So, we can go there for the duvet. Today, we want to go out for lunch. And then Rocco said, maybe we can go out for lunch in a place across to this place where the duvet is sold, being sold. So we can go for the duvet after lunch. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. Because I wanted to feel the duvet and why did I want to feel the duvet and not want to order it online? Because when I feel with the touch, I feel if I need it or not. My senses, I mean, one of my primal senses is touch. With touching something, I have a knowing if this is right or is this not right, or is this the good thing for me or is this not the good thing for me. Sometimes I don't know if it is a good thing or not. I cannot analyze it with my mind. And if I would go with the duvet, for example, with my mind, I could have asked all kind of questions, like to what kind of temperature is this ready, and it was I don't know the English name of the filling of the.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of different types of materials, and I could have asked 1,000 questions on those materials and what's the best and in which situation and stuff. But I just knew, like, I just want to feel it, and then I will know if it is right or not. And actually, basically, with all my decisions, I immediately, in a split second, I know this is the thing for me or this is not the thing for me. And with my mind is behind. And then later on with my mind, I can go to think about, like, so the consequences. I'm not really, I'm not in the moment, I'm not really thinking about consequences.
Well, the example why I said consequences, for example, when I was at a party last week, I could have gone home at a certain hour, but I chose to stay longer, knowing that it would have consequences for the next day.
What kind of consequences?
Well, if you go home at 1 or you go home at 4, there's going to be a difference how early you can get up the next day and how you're going to feel.
You don't know.
Well, okay, I need a minimum number of hours of sleep, and I already, it was end of the week, so. But I chose to feel how it felt in the moment. And I also accepted that I would not be up early and I would not do certain things in the morning, and that was fine. It was a conscious choice. Like, I choose to spend my energy here and now, mm-hmm. and not do that other thing tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is more valuable to me because I'm here with nice people.
Yeah.
And there are two things I want to do. So that's
a you made a conscious choice.
Yes. Based on feeling, mm-hmm. but there are consequences. But I choose them. And also I can choose, like, no, tonight I just want to spend as long as I want on the sofa watching some fun stuff, which means that tomorrow morning I will not be up early, so I may miss the sun. But for me, this feels like this is really what I'm in the mood for now. But it's a conscious choice. Do I want to do this, knowing that there are other things that I will not be able to do then? But that's okay. And I remember as a child, sometimes I was complaining that we would go out, and because we didn't have babysitting and stuff, so we would go out to this party and then come home late, and then I would be like, yeah, mom, you're not going to read me a story now. No, come on. We have been to a party. It's already 1 o'clock now, so now you're going to sleep. When you don't have a party, I can read you the thing. So there are choices you make. And actually, I'm happy that my mom taught me that sometimes you need to make choices, especially when it comes to time, that, yeah, you can spend an hour here or spend an hour there. But I know that back in the days, I used to do things without thinking, and then later, oh, I should not have done that. Oh, now I need to get up so early, and I'm so tired, and blah, 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 blah. And I would regret my decisions. Now I rarely regret what I do, because up front, I already chose, and like, how do I feel now? What does feel the best for me now? And then I do the thing, and then I'm okay with what comes after that. Just like I chose years ago to trust my intuition, and what comes out, I just say it and trust. Even in mind, like, oh, you cannot say this to people. No, my intuition throws it out. First, it started by just being thrown out, that my mind could not even catch up with it. Just like, what did I just say? But then people always responded in a very positive way, like, oh, you're right, or oh, yeah, or whatever. But it was always like, yeah, this is correct. So I started trusting. And now I'm already for a few years, I can feel like, is this something for me to say? Or is it just for me to know, to have the bigger picture while coaching a person or being in a conversation with a person? And then I can also choose, do I want to go deeper? Or do I want to keep it short because I want other people to also have a say, and this is not for here? So there are always choices we make, but the more we feel, the more we're in contact with ourselves, the more we can take the choices that make the outcome amazing. Like in all the workshops I had, it always went in a certain way and it worked out perfectly. Because I'm listening to that inner voice, because I'm in that moment. And yesterday things went like, didn't go that well, because I was not fully in my body in that moment, focused on what I was doing. I was thinking about other things.
Yes.
And so there are consequences. Consequence was I was really tired afterwards and needed some time to recover. Where normally it's perfect. People are still satisfied. They were still grateful and thankful and everything at the end. So, okay. They probably didn't feel much. But I felt it. And for me, that's
probably you were not centered.
Yes, I was not centered. I was with my mind somewhere else, worrying about certain things. How to do things and what ifs and the usual crap. Especially the what ifs. Those are a waste of energy and time. And the fun part is that I'm mainly teaching in those workshops, being in the here and now and being conscious and listening to your body and stuff like that. And it's exactly what I didn't do yesterday. I even had neck pain here. And I was like, why do I have neck pain? Yeah, because I was not in balance. So, how would you describe the way that you experience things that you're doing today compared to before? Being really present now. Can you describe the difference?
Well, the one of the big differences is that and then now I'm talking about like 20 years ago, talking about the time when I was in my day job, for example. I used to plan a lot, eh? I had my agenda and the to-do lists and the hours of the day and the tasks at hand, and I was planning. And first this
Not only
and
at work, right? Also privately,
Sorry.
I guess. Also privately, also for your private life.
Well, the private life, yes. There was. I remember that day. I was living in Amsterdam, and friends wanted to make an appointment, and I heard me saying like, "I have time in like, let's say, I don't know, it was 6 weeks, 7, 8 weeks," and I thought like, "What?" All my spare time was filled with other things, and then I knew like I don't want to live like this. If friends want to meet, I just want to meet them like as soon as possible, and not in 6, 7, 8 weeks time. That was the moment that I.
Ha, now we're getting somewhere. That was, yeah, okay, yeah, keep going.
There it started with that I remember I what I do remember is that I put the clock away. I started to live without a clock, without a watch. And I learned to be aware of the time everywhere, on the streets, on clocks on the streets, on the bus stop. Suddenly I realized that there's time everywhere. If I want to know what time it is, there's an opportunity to know what time it is. And I started to feel like, what if I do the things without watching the time? What happens with my time? And then, of course, in my jobs, I needed the agenda and the things. I mean, but when actually I got fired, it was also a very good thing that happened in my life. I started to live without an agenda, and I started to live without to-do lists. And so time opened up lots more. And if friends were asking to meet, I could say, yeah, let's meet tomorrow or next week.
But not 6 weeks.
Not 6 weeks, no. And actually, that was the time when it took, yeah, 6 weeks to meet. That was the time that I also worked 40 hours a week with lots of traveling time. So it took me 3 hours a day to travel. So I had like 11-hour days. And most of the time was in the weekends. I just knew like this is not my rhythm. And in last August only, I found my natural rhythm. So that's also what I realized. I have been living in a different rhythm than my own rhythm for many, many years. My rhythm, for example, starts naturally at 8 waking up or 9 waking up instead of like us before 7 alarm clock. And then I take it very easy in the morning with coffee and breakfast, and my active hours are between 11 and 5. and then my dinner time is there, and then the evening time is there, and I use the evenings also for relaxation and reflection and reading or chatting with people. And then when I started in this natural rhythm, I see that things flow to me. It is not the biggest difference is that first I lived my life linear with goals and timeline, goals and milestones and a straight line. But now it is really like a flowing river. And not that I make my life or like, it is more that life comes to me. And the only thing I have to do is like respond. That's the biggest difference.
Interesting.
Opportunities arise in the moment. And I look at those opportunities and think, oh, wow, this is great. Or this is cool. Or this is what I like. And, oh, this is not what I like. So this is not for me. And so I come in a flow where everything there is like what I like, what I love, what I adore. It comes to me. It is not that I go after it. So now, and you see me, what I'm doing here, when I'm talking about I go after it, I lean forward. Mm-hmm. It's action mode. Now it is, when life comes to me, it is like you can relax, you can lay back. It flows to you and you can do with it what you like. And I'm talking about business opportunities. I'm talking about people on in your life, material things, chances, opportunities for growth, personal growth, education, new books in the market, whatever.
Yeah, there are two things that I would like to take from what you said. So one was to-do list. A lot of people have to-do lists and they're very proud of their to-do lists, and they're proud that they have long to-do lists because it's like a status symbol almost. So if you're busy, you're important. So that's ego. So for me, that's already pushed out. But if you pay attention to what the word actually say, what you to do, what you have to do, not what you want to do. Because it comes from, I have to do these things. And there are plenty of exercises, you can find them online, when they ask people to say, I have to do something. And then when they say, I want to do something, and how they're standing, how their energy is. And when you have to do something, generally it means you don't want to, but you have to for some reason. Somebody else is forcing you to do it. So that's already an energy like, oh, I have to. But I want to do something. Then, yeah, you're already moving forward into it. And generally you have better results when you really want to do something. And the second thing is, you let life come to you or life take you and you go with the flow. And you see in society that, especially in the corporate world or even in personal development things, they talk about you need to be in the driver's seat. And that is true on one hand, but on the other hand, you can be in the driver's seat in the boat that is on this river. And you make sure you don't hit the sides, but you go with the flow still, but then you're still navigating. Or you can decide to stop somewhere, to pause somewhere, to do something, and then to continue. But the way it's brought is about, you need to have your goals, you need to go for it, and it's all about action, 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 and putting a lot of force. Because you want something, so you're going to put the force in it. No matter what life puts on your path, you need to keep going through it. And then you should be proud when you have broken through all those stones to get somewhere, spending a huge amount of energy, probably missing out on most things that life put in front of you. But you haven't lived, you have only been fighting. And generally, it's going against the flow in many cases. So there's no flow in life. It's a huge battle. Just like people are fighting to live a few months longer, but not living a real life, but only walking from hospital to hospital, getting all kinds of poison in their bodies that makes them feel like crap. Yeah, they managed to live 6 months longer, but they actually didn't have a life. So what's the point? And most of it is done from here, not from what you feel in here. But what you describe, how you do it from here. You're in your body and you feel. What do you need? What do you want? What's good for you?
Yeah, and what I enjoy, yes. And of course, some things need to be done.
We all need to shower, put some deodorant, not to be smelly. Yeah, okay,
maybe not. For some reason, you need to hydrate yourself, for example.
Yeah, but hydrate is very important, people.
But you just walk to the tap. When you feel like now is the time to hydrate myself or to drink a glass of water. Or what I did now, like I made a liter. It's just maybe a simple example, but the things go naturally.
We have more wisdom in our bodies than we often realize. Our body can or does tell us what we need and when we need it. You just need to be able to listen to it. That's why so many people suddenly collapse or get sick, because they didn't listen to their bodies when the bodies were telling them, hey, maybe you should slow down here, or maybe you should consume that thing or not consume that thing. And for me, it's very clear. When I don't listen to my body, I feel a certain moment, my throat starts to hurt or I start to feel some pain somewhere, like, oh, and I realize, yeah, I didn't listen to my body. Then I listen again to my body, and before I know it, it's gone. I'm okay again. And if we pay attention, our body will tell us exactly what we need to eat and when we need to eat it. And I know some people are completely obsessed with certain diets and stuff. I'm like, yeah, well, I will say with a smile, I'm a part-time vegetarian. Sometimes I really feel the need for meat, so I eat meat. I don't make it a religious thing. I just prefer to eat vegetarian. But I can still eat meat when I need it, or sometimes and simply enjoy. I mean, when I eat it, I enjoy it, but also just for fun. But even there, if I don't listen to my body and I'm like, oh, but I'm really in the mood for that thing, and I'm not listening to my body, I can still hurt myself. And I'm like, yeah, my buddy told me actually, no, I didn't listen to it. And when you are more in the here and now, in the present, and we have been working on our inner peace and listening to our bodies, then also this will be more in flow. And what we need will be on our path as well.
Yeah, and it, of course, it must be possible too. I'm thinking also about the times I was in my day job. Then you're already in a certain environment, and the question is if this environment suits you. I have had the luck with great bosses with great flexibility, and when I had my brainwave in the morning and I was not kind of able to jump into the train, I called them like, I'm a little later today, and that was always all right. I needed that. And I got facilitated in that. But there are also places where that's not possible. So I think also a very important thing is to make sure that you're in the right environment. What do you need? At a certain moment in Amsterdam, I realized like I don't notice the seasons. I had to go to my parents' place to find out it was kind of autumn. My parents on the countryside, and then I realized like I'm ready here in the city. I'm done. I need to move to a forest or close to the forest, more with nature, so I can be in nature. And now I realize actually I am an outdoor person, not an indoor person. I need fresh air. So also when you realize like what you need, what your rhythm is, what makes you feel good, that you look for opportunities to improve your life in that direction. And that's for everybody different, of course. But also with me, I always have made conscious choices in that. It's a choice. And it is hard sometimes, or maybe most of the time even. But at the end, it gives you the best for you. And it also asks sometimes for choices you have to make that are not in line with the societal norm, for example. Like I remember I suffered from lots of stress when the societal norm was like, have your first baby before you are 30 years old. And I was 29 and I got my first breakdown because I was in my job and I loved it. And but as I said, I was traveling 3 hours a day, making 11 hours. I thought, how am I going to combine it with a baby? How am I going to combine this with a family? I didn't see that. Also not with my energy. When I was coming home at 7 o'clock in the evening and I also had to cook and was having dinner at 8, or that I should be at home at 6 to grab my toddler from the nursery, I didn't see that happening. So I made a conscious choice, not only for career reasons or something, also just because I know that family life is not for me, not with the logistic everything that is practically involved. I mean, I love children, but just the practical side of it is not for me. And I had to be very honest also with me myself to realize that and to make this decision. And some decisions are very, very painful to make. It took also grief. Because sometimes you think like, oh, this life is a dream life of mine. But sometimes you also realize like, well, no, it's not, if I'm really honest, it's not what suits me, what serves me.
But the painful decisions, do you still experience them now, or was it in the beginning when you had to start making the changes?
In the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
And I also don't regret them. Mm-hmm. It's also important, but not to regret.
So the pain and grief was from letting go of old beliefs and all your old comfort zone.
It's letting go of several things. Sometimes you have to make a different choice, or you have to run away from a thing you loved, maybe because there is a different path for you.
I'm trying to think if I took some decisions that were painful for me or not. I think I waited long enough to take certain decisions, not to be painful anymore, but actually to relieve me from pain. The pain of doing things or being somewhere where I didn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose at certain moments to take jobs with less responsibility, with zero status, but to have more free time,
mm-hmm.
to have flexibility. And the fun part is that when I really decided that at the core, the job interview I had at the last company I worked at in the Netherlands was one where I didn't walk in selling myself, but I walked in putting down my conditions. No structural overtime. Friday was my day off, no matter what. And even I told them why also for everything. And the manager actually fully agreed. He understood, because he himself also wanted these changes in his life, but he was still in a kind of job where that was not being respected by others, so he didn't fully enjoy the choices he made. Where the HR manager was completely shocked, and she was like, this is not good for us. We need somebody who's willing to do everything like we wanted and when we wanted. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. In the end, she understood. I mean, a few years later, when I said I'm leaving, she was very disappointed because they were happy with me. But I didn't get the crap on my plate like, oh, no, but you have to make overtime. We expect this. No, I didn't have all that bullshit. And the part-time job I'm having now in the corporate world, I have flexibility. I can choose which hours I want to work. Okay, if I need to call companies, okay, I need to do it at certain hours. But when I was doing translation work for them, they didn't care. They said, okay, we need it within a day or 2 days. And they were always very kind and flexible. Like, if I would ask, when do you need it? Oh, I'll just have a few days. Okay. And they knew if it was really urgent, they had to tell me. And there was this understanding. And sometimes I would make overtime because it was urgent, but there was appreciation also. So there was a balance, and there still is a balance today. And that's why I've been working with these people for many years now. And also the NGOs I work with, there is flexibility. There is respect of also what I need. And so the cooperation is great. And that's why I do not have this source of stress anymore in my life, what many people still have. The same as with, which goes in parallel, I did learn to set boundaries for myself, but also boundaries that would protect so that people would not cross them. And I hear people having people in their lives who are crossing their boundaries and doing crap. I'm like, I don't have that for several years now. Because I did clearly set my boundaries, I do not have people in my life who come with bullshit to me. Because I do not accept bullshit in my life. And I'm very clear about that. So I don't attract that anymore. But I had to make that transformation within myself first. And I had to stop bullshitting myself first. I had to stop lying to myself first so that people in my life would stop lying to me, or liars would not come to me anymore. And this is all connected to being connected with who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still discovering every day new parts of myself, but choosing that. And from there, all these things start to manifest in my life.
Yeah, and we are also changing, eh? During the years. We don't stay the same.
Mm-mm. Nope. That's why my friends have been changing over the years as well. And yeah, I'm still in contact with some people from a long time ago, but these people also evolved in a similar direction. So that's why we're still in contact. But a lot of people that evolved in different directions, or some of them never evolved. I don't know how, but they stay the same. So yeah, we're not on the same frequency anymore. So these people, they just go away. It doesn't mean I hate them or so, but yeah, it just doesn't resonate anymore. So I let go of them, which in the beginning was painful, but then I realized, hey, but that creates space for me to breathe, and also space for new people to come into my life that are on the right frequency. And that is much more fun than to hold on to these people, because I know them for so long, so I need to hold on to them. But actually they annoy me, or I am annoying to them, or we have nothing to talk about. No, space for fun people who today are fun. And I don't need many of them in my life. So for example, when I was at the party last week, I only had real conversations with a few people, 5, 6 maybe, out of the 50 people who were there, or no, there were actually more than 50 people. But that's enough. But those people I resonate with. And they're not shocked by what I say or by how I behave, because I'm just being myself, and I can be myself around them. And even if that is different from how they are, we are on a certain frequency, so we accept each other as we are. And that is so much more peaceful. That is so much more relaxing. So much easier. So also in my workshops, I just am myself. And sometimes I look at the translator and I'm like, translate this literally. Because sometimes I use some words who can be considered like not so polite, but it is what needs to be said about something, like cut the crap. Because this is a lie. Stop lying to yourself. And certain things need to be translated very direct to make a point. And then you see the people laughing because they do get it. And there is no taboo about using a certain word or about expressing how I look at certain things, which can be completely different from what they're used to. Because they also feel I'm not judging them. I just have a different view on things. And I'm also willing to share with them why. And that's just to show them that there are different ways of looking at things in life. And me not being afraid to be myself is making it easy for them to be themselves. So I see them also opening up more and more and more, and then reaching more depth within themselves, and I see them transforming. And so they also become more connected with who they truly are. It's actually contagious.
That's beautiful, yes.
Sorry?
That's beautiful. When people open up and feel the confidence to be who they are.
Yes, and it doesn't cost me energy. Because I'm just being myself. And so they also feel more and more safe to be themselves. So for if somebody who is watching this and is still afraid to be truly him or herself, just realize the more you start to do it, the more people around you will also become more themselves, and you will also attract more people who resonate with who you truly are on the inside. And yeah, your parents may be shocked, may disagree because they are still living in a certain way and they want you also to live that way. But hey, did they really live the way their parents lived? Probably not. So why don't you have the freedom to make your own choices? I mean, I certainly didn't live the way my parents envisioned it, especially not my mom. But my father, being a rebellion himself, I remember in 1995, he told me, okay, you decided not to go to school anymore. I trust you will land on your feet. Just promise me one thing. If you need help, you call me. You call me at the office. Don't call home. Call me at the office. Because mom will stress, but I will help you if I can. And that was enough for me. That was what I needed to hear. Do what you want, just know I'm there if you need me. And so I started to go my own path. And yes, I dropped many times. I hit my face many times. But I got up. And here I am today. I survived. I mean, 1995, that is 27 years ago, I guess, yes. So it is possible to change course, to go in a different direction than what your parents want or what your community wants. You can do it. I managed to do it, so if I could, I'm sure you can too. Pauline did it. I mean, you didn't follow the narrative of your parents. You also went your own way. And yeah, I remember clearly that your father was sometimes like, what is you doing? But he got to realize that, yeah, Pauline is fine. It's totally fine. I don't fully understand what she's doing, but she's totally fine. And my father is the same. He doesn't fully understand what I'm doing, but he knows I'm fine. So he's okay. He's okay with it. He's not worrying anymore. And that's the thing. As long as we're not worrying, our parents will stop worrying. That's also the thing. If we are insecure and we're worrying about whatever, then our parents will still worry, or our friends, or our partners. But if we stop worrying and we trust what we're doing is the right thing, and so we have more self-confidence, then people will also have confidence in us. And I believe that's a crucial one. If you really want to change something in your life, big change, you need to trust what you're doing. Not be afraid of.
Yeah, and to feel safe in the moment, actually. I think that is also a very important thing, that you safety is a place within. If you feel the safety within, then you'll be fine.
I think
that, and also to realize what you really, really, really need. I mean, I told you before in this episode that I got this diagnosis with bipolar disorder, and I got hospitalized twice. And in my first hospitalization, I was on the hospital floor and they took my will. And I was like, what did you take from me? My will? How is that possible? You know, what was left of me? What did they take actually when they took my will? And then that moment on the hospital floor, I was like, what is left for me then? Well, who am I? If they took my will, what is this? What kind of choices?
Yeah, for people who are not native Dutch, will is not the will what happens after you die, but like the choice. They took away your freedom of choice.
Freedom of choice. Yeah, it's wilsbekwaamheid in Dutch.
Ah, wilsbekwaamheid. Oh gosh, I don't know how to translate that. If I remember,
it's very interesting. We normally in daily life we don't think about these things.
Basically, they didn't trust that you would make the right choices for yourself. Is that the one? So they would decide for you everything because you were
basically everything is decided for you. You get a lawyer, and this lawyer is your spokesperson. So actually, you're not any longer your own spokesperson. And that for me was a very, very strange thing. And I was there on the hospital floor, and I was like, okay, what's left for me? And then I discovered, like, I'm this essence. My name tag is on the door of my room. So I am a body with a name, but that's not me. There's something different. It's the essence. That's me. And its essence remains. It is untouched. It's unspoiled. It's pure. So whatever they took from me, me is still me. Or like the I, the essence. And names can change, bodies can change, but this essence remains. And the second episode, what I wanted to say about this was I don't know, sorry, I'm lost now where we were talking about. I don't even remember where we were talking about before we before this came up. This is actually what I wanted to point out because I feel it very strongly now. It is this essence, it's this present all the time. And yes, it was about safety and size. If and what you really need, that was the thing. Yeah, because when I was hospitalized, I mean, I realized this, so I'm this essence, and I realized like I had my shelter, I had my food, I had my water, there were activities or like all kind of things to do. There was a little garden, I could go outside in the garden. I mean, I was not allowed to go outside the door, but there was a patio with fresh air. So when you realize what you really, really need and that it will be provided, or it is provided, and then from that moment I started to live from that essence, and in this essence I was aware of everything going on around me. And I started to look at it. And I, at a certain moment, I was allowed to go out. And I longed for a good coffee. And I got some pocket money to buy a good coffee. So I went for the good coffee. And I just sat there in the city of Utrecht drinking the good coffee. Just being present in this awareness with witnessing everything going around me. Going on around me. And there it started. It all started there. So actually, I'm very grateful that also this event happened in my life, because I'm not sure if I would have found this place where I'm now without being hospitalized, being actually imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized we are free. In our essence, we are safe. And
it all starts within.
It all starts within. And actually, his essence also for me feels also very not only within, but also.
Yeah, you're living it now.
Yes, you're living in the essence. Yes, so your essence is bigger actually, but you're living in the essence. And I'm going to explore also next year. It will be the first year that I will have my year fully open to really embrace and to see like what will happen in my life when I have all the time living in my essence, in the presence. What is life giving to me?
So we're not going to schedule when you're going to visit me. It will just happen someday. You will just call me up. Hey, tomorrow, are you free? Yes. Okay. Pick me up at that hour. It will be something like that. No more scheduling. Minimalistic or just like a week or two ahead.
Well, of course, there are some invitations, and then you'll have the dates in your in my mind, or in others in the calendar. But even those are open. There are no fixed things. I feel free also to say no to the invitations, for example. I will see how I will live my year.
Throughout this talk, a few times came the memory of my holiday. I think it was 2001, I think it was, or 2002. I think, September 2002, yes. That I went on holiday to the island of Crete in Greece, and I had scheduled nothing. I had just the little apartment, if you can call it even an apartment, more like a studio. And I knew about a restaurant where was a very kind owner, because my friends had been there a month or two before. So they gave me his name and said to go and say hi to him. And the food was amazing there. And for me, good food is important. So that was the only thing. And I went for 10 days and I really went with the flow. I didn't schedule anything. At a certain moment I decided, okay, tomorrow I want to drive around. So I rented a car for 2 days and I drove around without really planning anything as well, just going and seeing where I end up. It was amazing. It was one of my best holidays ever. Just being in the moment. I met amazing people. I had great times. It was everything was perfect. I even ended up at some demonstration against discrimination and stuff with students and actually, it was the last night before leaving. I was like, okay, I hope this doesn't escalate because I really want to catch my airplane tomorrow. But yeah, it was amazing. It was just being in the moment. And since then, my holidays became more flexible and without planning. And of course, my next girlfriend, she was into planning and scheduling everything. And so we made a compromise. When we went to California, it was like one day we're doing things and one day we just see. And we did that. It was also a great holiday because there was some equilibrium. There was the need of each of us was met. So even if your partner has some different needs, you can find the balance there. But I started already listening. But I didn't fully realize at that time what steps I already had taken. And I see that more and more now, how I'm living from day to day. Of course, there are certain things I'm scheduling, but a lot is left open to the moment. And I didn't understand people who used to do that before. I found them annoying because I could not schedule things with them. They were so annoying. Why can't they not just commit? No. Now I understand. And that's a freedom. And it's a freedom that you feel within yourself. And even if you're imprisoned, you can still be free within yourself. And that's, I remember this one of the things Nelson Mandela was also talking about when he was in prison for, I don't know how long, 20 plus years. And it's the same as happiness. It also starts within. It starts with abundance. If we feel abundance, and we can appreciate what we have, then things start to come to us. Also because we're radiating it. And so those who say that your outside world is a reflection of your inner world, I start to not just believe it, but to see it. It's becoming more and more fact for me, not just a belief or a conviction. It's no, I see it. It's fact. It's happening. Do you have any last thoughts for today? Because we're already talking for over an hour. Something you just want to say to people to remember, or to put them to think, or a question that they could answer for themselves.
Who are you?
Oh, good question. Who are you? I love that one. I'm slowly becoming able to answer that question, because I asked myself this question since last summer a few times, and slowly the answer starts to materialize. I may answer this in another video once I know how to formulate it. And a question I would have is, what is your deepest desire? Really deep. No matter what you think, how society would look at it. No, what do you truly desire? I think that's a beautiful question. Also, I mean, it's not mine. It comes from the series Lucifer. And he talks about dark desires or naughty desires, but I'm talking about what you really desire. Because that, when you realize what you really desire, it also puts us to revise the life we're living, maybe. Okay, if I really desire that, then maybe there are these things here that I need to change if I want to get there.
That's maybe also to close this conversation. For example, what I desired the most a couple of years ago and still is freedom. And I started to make all the choices in my life based on this freedom. Will this give me more freedom? So it can be a guideline to what you desire the most.
And mine was in 2004, in autumn, was inner peace, because I was having my second burnout and I was so done with all the stress in my life. I saw my uncle, who was so calm while I was freaking out about some nonsense, and I really wanted, and I took that decision. I didn't realize then, but it was a decision I took on a very deep level, and since then everything has been focused on that. And looking back, yep, a lot has changed. I have completely changed, and I'm so much more relaxed, so much calmer. Although things that have been coming on my plate in the past few years have been much bigger than what I ever had to deal before with, but I'm much calmer. So yeah, I did that. And yeah, I started, like you said, taking decisions that would lead to that. Making choices, clear choice, like that job interview I described, where I said, no, I will not do systematic overtime. That's my day off. Things like that are needed if you want to have peace in your life. So first started with peace in my life, and then realized it was inner peace. And so that's, yeah, but it's true what you're saying. When you know where you want to go, then your decisions will start to lead you in the direction. You may not end up exactly there, but at least it's a direction. And let it be a direction. Go with the flow of life, because sometimes we cannot formulate exactly what we want because we don't know it yet. We haven't seen it yet. But we
Yes.
have a direction. So we use the word that we know.
Yes.
But there may be a new
And
word.
then, yes. And then on the go, you find out that actually it's maybe something else you really want, really desire, or really,
Yes.
really want. But
Like you
that's
say, I
okay.
want money. And then I always ask, what for? Because the desire is not money. Okay, unless you're, yeah, okay. There may be a case where people really just get very happy when they have money in their hands. But generally it is because there's something they want to do with the money. So for all those who said money, what is it you want to do with it? For some it's freedom, for some it's being able to have food on the table or something else. So look if there's something behind it. Whatever comes up now, see if there's something behind it. What's behind it? And then you get to the core, to the essence of what you really want deeply. And then just start walking the path. And for those who feel they need help or guidance, contact one of us or somebody. Ask for help. It's important to ask for help when you need help. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. It's the smart thing to do, to ask for help when you need it. When you look at the very successful people in the top 100 or the top 1,000 in your country or even globally, they all have had throughout the years at least one mentor and or coach, because they knew they could not do everything just by themselves, that they needed somebody to teach them, to guide them, to help them with some things. So asking for help is a smart thing to do. And I see it around me. Those who ask for help are actually moving forward. And those who are stuck are often the people who are afraid to ask for help because somebody convinced them that it's a bad thing, but actually it's a good thing to ask for help. And in Dutch, we have this saying, "Nee, heb je, ja, kun je krijgen." If you don't ask, you have nothing. But if you ask, you may get actually something. So why not try? You have nothing to lose. Pauline, I want to thank you for this beautiful conversation, which was very typical. Looking at the conversations that we generally have, even just on the phone with some silences, some contemplation. And that is one of the things I enjoy in our talks, what we have. It's okay to be silent, it's okay to take a moment to feel, to contemplate, to let things sink in. And those who have been watching.
I didn't have the feeling that I did that in this conversation.
You
Did I?
did. Yes.
Did I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's much more in my regular life, in my conversations. So for me, yeah.
Yeah, it's
But
lovely.
thank you for this invitation.
You're very welcome. Well, thank you for accepting because I invited you long, long, long ago. I think 2 years ago. I don't know when I started these things, but I asked you very long ago. And then from time to time, when the moment is right. And then suddenly I remember 2 weeks ago or so, suddenly like, hey, I'm ready for this. I'm like, huh, what? So it actually took me now time to actually schedule, because you were ready already for a week or two.
Yes. Yes. So, also for this, it felt like now is the time. And I really enjoyed it. It was out of my comfort zone, but I really enjoyed it. So thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome.
So thank you for being my friend.
How uncomfortable were you in the end during this talk? Have you been uncomfortable? I see. Out of the comfort zone can still be comfortable.
Yes. Apparently, yes.
Yes.
It's just to dive into the unknown.
Yep. Yeah, because we had only the subject, like the being and the here and now and the presence. That was the subject, but we had no idea how to start. Even seconds before we started, we had no idea where to start and where to go. I just said, like, okay, I'll do my introduction and then we'll see. So, yeah. Everyone watching, thank you for watching. Feel free to message us or to put something in the comments or to put a question. And
maybe a good thing, by the way, if people would like to contact me or find me on the internet, it is on Facebook or Instagram under my name. That's the two social media platforms I use.
It's written here. That's how you spell it. And there's only one. You won't find a second person with
exactly. No. There's actually another Pauline van Rijck Vorstel too. There are two in the world.
Oh.
But there's only one who looks like me.
Okay, good. Anyway, she's in my friends list. So if you connected with me, then you will see like mutual connections. I'll put in the description, I'll put a link so you can find her. You don't need to type a difficult name to type. No, you can just click the link and it will link directly to her Facebook page.
And also, by the way, one other thing.
Yes.
Especially on Facebook, like send me a messenger message first. I don't accept friendships of people I never met before. So but if you send me a messenger message, I know, like, oh, you watched this conversation, that's why you would like to connect. So now then I know.
People can also then ask you in the comments, like, hey, Pauline, I would like to connect. You will automatically get a notification that your name was.
Okay. Yes.
And,
okay.
Yes. Okay, so also to this conversation, I think it's a good one. Because if we're so popular, then we cannot have more than a certain number of connections. So we need to be discreet and to select. You,
yeah. No, that's not the reason, but I would always love to know people's intentions. Yes. That's
right. Yes.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. I mean, sometimes I get invitations from people I've never heard about. And I'm like, yeah, do I know you? I mean, who never even liked something that I post? I'm like, yeah. So. Good. Everyone, have a beautiful new year, because I will try to post this just before the end of the new year, but you may watch it in 2023. So happy new year to everyone. Make it a beautiful year. Don't make it
peaceful
a
peaceful year.
Peaceful year. Yeah, more inner peace. No to-do lists. That's your to-do list. Stop making to-do lists.
That's not what I'm saying. Everybody can make their own choices, but
that's what I'm saying. It's what I'm encouraging.
Can be something different.
And yeah, see you on the next one. Like, subscribe, and share.